Good morning, Delaware. Wow. We are in our new digs here. This is a beautiful new studio here for WDLR.
It feels so fancy. It's almost intimidating.
I know. I was almost afraid bringing my coffee in here. I mean, if I'd spill it in the old studio, probably nobody would have noticed. But here, everything's so nice and fresh and looks great. So that voice you're hearing is Nicole Fowles. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning.
And our guest today is Hannah Simpson, the communication specialist for the Delaware County District Library. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, guys.
So it's great to have you here, as always. Behind the board is Gage Tellis, who is the mastermind behind the move into the new studio.
Oh, I'm a master now?
You're a mastermind.
I like this.
Yeah, I think you deserve it.
Thank you. No, there's a lot of other people that are behind the scenes on this that also deserve it as well.
Well, you guys did a good job. It's really cool back here, so thank you. So today we are going to be talking about the display on 9/11 that we have in each of our libraries today. We'll be talking about how that originated and what you're going to be able to see. So, Nicole, I think your book lists fit in really nicely with what we're going to be talking about.
It's another book list week. I'm working on another book right now that hopefully I'll have ready for you by next week. But it's a book list kind of week. And you can find these very easily right now if you go to DelawareLibrary.org and you click on the 9/11 display under our news portion of our website. There are two book lists that you can go and reserve books from immediately. You just click on them and you click reserve and they'll be in your inbox. And then there are two that you can download. One is for youth and one is for adult. And they're all titles relating to remembering September 11th of 2001, because we were coming up on a 20-year anniversary of that, which is just
unbelievable.
Crazy to think about. Absolutely crazy to think about.
I told somebody the other day, it seems like only yesterday that September 11th happened. Mm-hmm. But September 10th seems like a million years ago.
I know. That's poetic.
So, anyway.
The thing that I think is going to be the hardest is now that 20 years has passed, we have an entire generation that are adults that were not alive whenever this happened. And so of course, there are lots of wonderful adult titles that you may have already heard of. Ordinary Heroes by Joseph Pfeiffer, The Fall and Rise, The Story of 9/11 by Mitchell Zukov, At Ground Zero. These are adult stories that tell lots of different perspectives. But I was really fascinated by some of these stories for, you know, how do we tell kids about what happened? So there are books for children and teens on this downloadable book list. One of the people who we love and we talk about a lot is Lauren Tarshish, and she writes a series called I Survived. And it's basically stories from a child's perspective of kind of natural disasters, big moments in history. She has one about the Titanic. She has one about Pearl Harbor. This one is I Survived the Attacks of September 11, 2001.
Wow.
So this is going to be for a probably middle school reader, a young middle school reader. There's another one that is called, I don't know that one. Hannah's pointing at different titles.
Oh, there's a book on there called The Red Bandana, and I actually saw the ESPN feature on this story about a man who was working in the towers, but he had been a college athlete, and he was recognizable because he always kept a red bandana in his pocket, and he would wear it like when he was like running and stuff, and he just kept running back into the towers to save people, and he did not survive, but his red bandana has kind of become
a
way to remember him.
Yeah.
And that's a great story, especially for your sports geared kids.
Right. Exactly. There's another one, and I want to say it's, yes, Branches of Hope, and probably this very tree. They're about the 9/11 survivor tree. The Branches of Hope is by Anne McGee, illustrated by Nicole Wong. It's really beautiful, and it's a story about kind of the one tree that survived. It's a pretty notable story. But so anywhere from elementary readers to high school readers is what is encompassing in this list. And so I would just recommend that you check it out and get them while they are still available, because as the anniversary is approaching, these are going to be very popular titles.
Indeed. So great. Well, thank you. And Hannah, what are you reading?
I just finished If We Were Villains by M.L. Rio. And Nicole and I are...
No spoilers!
That's what's tough, is that Nicole and I are in a book club, and I suggested this title and it got chosen, so we're reading it to talk about in October, in early October. It's about a group of seven seniors in college, although it's not a normal college. It's Delacour Academy for the Arts in Illinois, and they're all the actors in their grade. And so they're the only people left. Every year in this college, you get cut or you make it to the next year. And the thing about the theater program is they only do Shakespeare. And so they're all very like literary and classic and kind of snobby, but I like that sort of thing.
Anna's people.
And it opens with Oliver Marks, one of the seven, getting released from prison 10 years later. And the cop who investigated the case said, "What happened that year? Like, you've never told me the whole story. I'm moving on to private security. No one can be tried for this. Tell me what happened." And so he goes over the and it's all about the relationships between the seven of them. And, you know, actors, sorry, George, are just very temperamental.
No, you can't talk about me like that.
So if you're interested in dark academia, it's very atmospheric. It's great for Halloween or fall. Shakespeare, which is great if you know his plays and stuff, very inside and out. That leads a lot to the storytelling. And there's a mystery because there is a murder.
Most foul.
Yes. There are. It's for fans of The Secret History by Donna Tartt and The Likeness by Tana French. So things about students who are very close-knit and have secrets.
Okay, title again?
If We Were Villains by M.L. Rio. I loved it. Listened to it, and it's a great, great audiobook.
Yeah.
Because they do so much Shakespeare in it, it's helpful to have someone reading the Shakespeare to
good
you.
That's good to note.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea.
That is good to note. Thank you.
Loved it. Read it.
Well, mine is totally different from what both of you guys have.
Great.
One of the things, when I was a kid, one of the things that my personal geekdom is, I like reference books. When I was a little kid,
I'm just shaking my head.
Yeah, it's like as if you didn't know, right? Yeah, my folks subscribed to Funkin' Wagnalls Encyclopedia, which you bought week by week at the grocery store. You know, you could get one volume for 59 cents every week if you bought like $10 worth of groceries.
Oh,
so we had the whole Funkin' Wagnalls from about 1960 maybe, and then annual yearbooks that went with it, and I loved it. I would just jump into it and start reading. And then when I got a little older, I said the World Book Encyclopedia at the library where I was working, World Almanac. The thing that I loved every year was getting the new Leonard Maltin's movie guide that came out every year. I love stuff like that. The People's Almanac, which was published back in the 90s, I think, maybe the 80s or 90s.
Would that be equivalent to, like, me as a child checking out the Guinness Book of World Records?
Precisely.
Yes,
precisely.
I did love that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, and then even as an adult, whenever I'm in, like, Barnes & Nobles and I see a new Uncle John's bathroom reader, I buy it. Even though it's a little dubious. So, for Christmas, Joyce gave me a copy of a book called Stuff You Should Know, an incomplete compendium of mostly interesting things. And it's based on a podcast by Josh Clark and Chuck Bryant, and the book was helped with Nils Parker helped put the book together. But it is just a fun book. It's 26 chapters of trivia is basically what it is. Let me just read some of the chapters, the sample chapters that are in this book. The first one that I really loved because I had my first apartment by myself had one of these. Murphy beds.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
What's the history of them? Where did they come from? How did they get started?
Who thought this was a good idea?
Probably somebody named Murphy. And so that's one of the first chapters. Then there's some more serious topics. Like the next chapter is about aging. Do we have to? So it talks about the various studies that have been done about how to extend life to 120 years, 130 years, things like that. Then with the Delaware County Fair coming up, demolition derbies.
Ooh,
yeah, right? Okay. And then what perfectly fits right after demolition derbies? Kamikazes. what are not the drink. The Japanese pilots, the Divine Wind pilots who made life miserable for sailors in the World War II. There's a whole chapter on the Scotland Yard Crime Museum, which was also known as the Black Museum.
Mm.
Because they put out evidence for murders and talked about these murders. The thing is, that museum is only open to Scotland Yard people. You can't go to the Black Museum.
Were these murders solved?
These are solved murders.
Oh, okay. I'm like,
Yard
are they putting out evidence to say, like, you solve it, Scotland Yard?
No, this is over those hundreds of years that Scotland Yard and its predecessors have been around. They've been saving the evidence, and they put it out. And it's to teach future police officers, bobbies, and detectives on what to do. And there were actually was a radio series that Orson Welles did back in the 50s in England based on the Black Museum.
Interesting. Ooh, I wonder if they ever hire librarians.
I wish they would. That would be a fun job.
Sounds like they should.
So, and then here's one for Molly. Our colleague Molly on well witching, which is about dowsing. Yes,
I can't tell you how many times she's brought up dowsing.
I know,
in a conversation, it doesn't seem like a topic that you should bring up.
Actually, I do not know what dowsing is.
It is using the sticks to try to find water.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so it's a craft and a belief that goes back at least 8,000 years. There are 6,000 BC, like etchings of people dowsing, but it's. And this is a direct quote, totally without scientific merit, according to the National Groundwater Association. So anyway, it's a fun one. And then there's a whole chapter on the perfect Price is Right game.
Oh, well.
Have you know this story. Yeah. I think you were the one who told me about the documentary called, what was it called?
The Perfect Bid. The Perfect Bid,
yes. So there's a whole chapter on that and how the various stories that go into that. And it's kind of fun because there's like background on game shows and things like that in there as well. It's fun. It's easy to read. There's lots of side trips and footnotes and asides. The only downside to it, there's no bibliography. There's no index.
Oh.
So you can't really track back. But for this kind of book and you're just, you know, and they do sort. Let me try that sentence again. They do cite a lot of sources.
Got it.
Not an easy sentence to say within the book, but there's just not any organized way of finding those. So, but again, it's called Stuff You Should Know. This is also available as an audiobook. It's available as an ebook, and it's available as a paper book at, through the Central Library Consortium. So hope you'll enjoy that. We will be back in just a moment to talk about the 9/11 exhibits at the library and other things that are going on this week. So stay tuned. Yeah, that weather forecast kind of struck us as a little bizarre, but
I'd give it a solid like 63 degrees right now.
That seems like closer to where it would be.
And I'm gonna forecast. Just give me a meteorology degree. A high of like 78 today.
You're probably pretty close. It is a gorgeous day this morning.
I was when cold I went out, last night.
Yeah,
I went out to pick up the paper this morning, and it was just it's beautiful. This is the kind of weather I love. So
it's not bad.
No, it's not bad at all. So anyway, back to what we were going to be talking about, which is the 9/11 exhibit that you two have been working on. Hannah, I know that you've been spearheading this. Tell us about the origin of the exhibit and then what we have to show folks.
Right. So the exhibit is called September 11th, 2001, although there is a typo on the website finding.
Hey, thanks.
It does say 2011, but it was 2001, the day that changed the world. So there is a museum. It's in New York. That's the 9/11 Memorial and Museum at Ground Zero, and they created, in partnership with the American Library Association, a poster exhibit. And they took items from the collection and stories, and they photographed them and put them together to tell a narrative about what happened and why it happened, and then what's happened in the 20 years since, all sort of the ripple effect. And so we were able to download and get these printed out very nicely and hung at all of our locations. Some locations only have a few posters due to the fact that it's
smaller wall space. Yeah.
And it is in booklet form. So if you want to take a private moment, if you don't want to have to deal with the heaviness up on the wall, you can get it in a booklet and take it somewhere in the library and read it. And what's so great is the fact that it is through this museum. Then this is what they do all year round. They are the experts in handling sensitive material with care and dignity for those that we lost that day.
Mm-hmm.
It's very powerful.
I find the personal stories that are included in there are really moving. Both the people who survived and the people who didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing their stories again. I know at the Delaware Library, we have the New York Times book that had capsule biographies of everybody who died.
Mm-hmm.
And we have it open, and you can flip to any page and read the stories. These are just average people, whether they were firefighters, whether they were the people on United 73, whether they were the people who were working for one of the companies in the towers. It's just... It's so much just a slice of life. People went to work that day and never came home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just very moving. And it personalizes it so much.
Yeah, that book is incredible, and our staff worked with me to create additional displays within the library. Mm-hmm. So if you go into the Orange or the Delaware Library, we've got beautiful book displays, and we've borrowed some firefighting equipment from local stations, which, you know, thank you so much to our local fire stations for mm-hmm. working with us and donating that, and so that you can kind of remember who else was involved that day. Mm-hmm. At Delaware, our staff created a mini tree of hope. Mm-hmm. And so like that book that Nicole was talking about earlier, we've got a bare tree and we've got leaves, and we would love for people to come and write what hope means to them or what they're hoping for as they remember the past 20 years.
I love how involved our staff gets in some of these different things. Like, we kind of threw it out saying that, you know, we've got a really great opportunity from the 9/11 Memorial and Museum, and we can get these poster exhibits, and we can, you know, print out the booklets, but what else can we do beyond that? And so we have, you know, these book lists I didn't make. I'm not a librarian. And we had librarians make these excellent book lists that really do a great slice of life. We have people at our circulation desk who are like, yeah, I'll contact the local fire department, Delaware City Fire Department, Orange Township Fire Department, and see if we can get, you know, some pieces to put on display as well. And then, yeah, let's go ahead and make this tree of hope. And they were even coming to me yesterday with ideas like, do you think that, you know, we could have like the schools, you know, write their hopes on little leaves of construction paper and then bring them to us? And I was like, why not? You know,
yeah,
it's just our staff just is so
collaborative,
Yeah.
And creative.
Mm-hmm. And it's just really wonderful that they really love to go all in with this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm really it's kind of fun too, the tie in with the origami.
Yes,
at Delaware
cranes.
Right now, mm-hmm. the cranes. Yeah, that's been really impressive too.
Yeah, that was another idea that, you know, Japanese cranes are in origami are a symbol of hope, mm-hmm. and so they have put out some origami paper and the pattern for how you make one, which they are difficult. You know, have a ruler and a steady hand.
Yes, I've never
really
mastered that.
Really,
I've
get
got
those
the ruler.
Creases
I don't
down.
Have the steady hand. I don't know why it is with just, you know, 3 or 4 gallons of coffee a day. I don't have steady hands.
Yeah. So I imagine that the displays will be up for the rest of the month, but the posters will not. The posters are now through September 14th. Mm-hmm. And so come on in anytime we're open and come in and pay your respects. And it's a great opportunity also if you have young adults or children to walk through them and teach them about what happened, because it does explain. That's sort of how the museum framed it, and as if we know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it really touches the way that the posters are put together. It's kind of, you know, the morning, the day of, and then there's a different poster for each site that there was an attack and that there was a plane that went down. And then there is, you know, remembering the people, remembering the helpers, remembering the just all the different, remembering how we came together. And it is in good taste how they put the images together, but we know people who were in New York when that happened, and that can still be triggering. And so definitely, you know, if you don't want to look at it, it's only in one little area, and you mm-hmm. can go off to the fiction shelves and you can find something else. But the 9/11 Memorial Museum did a really great job putting it together.
And just a brief correction. I said United 73. It was United 93.
Oh, 93.
Yeah. My
yes.
bad. So mm-hmm. go ahead, Hannah. No,
they also did a great job handling the war in Afghanistan, because that mm-hmm. as that ended, how it ended recently. And they put these posters together, leaving it open-ended and that shouldn't be too.
Because we don't know the ending yet. Mm-hmm. It's still evolving.
I mean, right.
That's the thing why this seems so current is because it's still evolving.
And it's so timely. How
it
would
is.
We have known?
Yes,
right. Mm-hmm.
right.
So yeah, I was very thrilled. And so thank you so much to the 9/11 Memorial and Museum for taking the time to put this together and making it free to public libraries.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That is, we couldn't have done it without them working with ALA on this.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Hannah. And thank you to the staff who've been so like you said earlier, so creative, so constructive about making this a really meaningful display for the 20th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
So, good work. So we got some other things coming up at the library this week. Story times were back this week for the first time in a year and a half. It was great to see kids and not in the library. It was. We were really blessed by the weather so far this week.
Yes.
So
keep it up.
We've been doing our story times outside, and we will be doing them again next week. If you're listening to this Friday morning and you want to do something, we still have Powell has their story time this morning at 10:30, and that will be outside in the grassy area. Now there's going to be some construction of the actually repaving of the parking lot at Powell. Mm-hmm. So keep an eye on our website for where we're going to be doing that next week and the week after, because we're not sure yet, because right. We don't know exactly what they'll be doing with the parking lot at that point. We will be doing them. It may be in one of the other parks in Powell. It may be in a different place in the park where we've been doing them, but we will let you know.
Right.
But for today, it's right outside the library.
They've been really amazing. Delaware, Ostrander, Orange, and Powell each have one. Orange has two, but it's going to be the same exact one on Tuesday as it is on Thursday. And that's really to just kind of help with crowd control. That's always a popular location for story times. So you don't have to come to both. You can come to just one because it's going to be the same exact content both days. But I'm really excited about the Bookbusters Book Club coming up on Tuesday.
Yes, that's a fun one.
It's a 6:30 event. It's going to be outside in the Orange Imagination Garden, assuming that the weather is lovely. And they're talking about Fantastic Mr. Fox by Roald Dahl, aww, who I talked about a couple weeks ago as one of my entry gates into love of reading. And this other fun thing that they're doing is they've partnered with a local organization that rehabilitates rescue foxes. And so they are bringing an actual fox to this book club. And I'm just like squealing with delight.
If you could see us, our shoulders are up around our ears because we're just so excited.
So my voice goes up about 10, pitches.
I love this.
So cute.
Well, and Fantastic Mr. Fox is just the best.
Yeah.
We also have one of our old favorite book clubs coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the Daily Growler on Wednesday, September 8th at 6 o'clock. Books and Brews will be back. Our friends at Powell Library and our other friends at the Daily Growler will be doing, again, a live book club at the Growler. So that was always one of our most popular book clubs, and I hope you'll take advantage of that. That should be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention Prep Accelerator's ACT Virtual Crash Course. If your high school student who is getting ready to take the ACT or the SAT next Friday night has nothing to do from 4 o'clock to 8:30, it's so long, but it is an intensive virtual crash course. They are going to go through actual questions that have been on actual past SAT, ACT tests, and your kiddo is completely free, and all your kiddo needs is a calculator, a pencil, and some paper, and 4.5 hours on a Friday night.
As if kids have nothing to do on a Friday night. But I hope that they'll take advantage of this, because this is something you can't get free in many places.
You boost your score by a point or two, and that could mean free tuition at some colleges in Ohio.
Exactly. Speaking of things that we're offering for free that you can't get anywhere else, that is the COVID tests. We do have them. Call before you come to make sure we've got them, because we're getting constant new supplies, but we do have spot runouts. So, but we are offering those, one per household. They are very easy to do. You don't need a lot of training or anything to do these tests. It's a step-by-step thing.
And one per family member.
Per family member, one per member of the household, yes.
Yeah,
I say one per household?
Yeah.
That would not be a good idea.
No.
So, you can't share those tests.
No, you can't share the tests. So anyway, it's really pretty simple to do, and we'll make them available as long as the Ohio Department of Health keeps supplying them to us. Thanks a lot, and thank you, Hannah, for being here.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks to the Friends of the Library for sponsoring our show. Always great working with them. Hey, we've got some new shelving in the garage at Delaware, so it's going to be the book sales when we do them
coming
at
up.
Delaware again. We got one coming up, I think, next month.
October.
Mm-hmm. And so that's going to make it much easier to do that, and we'll be able to do a little social distancing and everything in there, so stay tuned for that. They've put in, like I said, some new shelving that the friends bought, and we'll make it easier to find books in there. So thank you, friends. Thank you, Nicole.
Always a pleasure.
Gage, thank you for everything, for getting us into the new studio.
My pleasure. Welcome.
Yay. And we will see you in the stacks.